You may not believe me. I've seen people who told me, Pastor, can't I just walk away from this marriage? I'm telling you. You know, a pastor was preaching one time and he said, so he was talking to married people and he asked them a question. He said, if peradventure God gave you something called halftime, or if marriage was something like a subscription that you renew, if your current subscription ends now in the next 8 months, will you renew it? And the place went quiet. 2022 January in Abuja alone, in 2022 January, they received 5,000 files of divorce. For January alone, did you hear what I said? In one state of Nigeria, 5,000 files. 5,000. So 5,000 couples came together and said, we don't want to do it again. Are you following what I'm saying? So this is serious. Can we just pray that God will speak to us? Can we pray in the next 2-3 minutes? If you can pray in tongues right now, that God will speak to us in a very powerful way. Pray. I want to hear you pray. If you can pray in tongues, please, I want to hear you pray. Rapakaso frakapaleta shatabaya. Pesa rapakaso delibereke sutakaya. In the name of Jesus, you will speak to us tonight. In the name of Jesus, may please be seated. Quickly open Genesis 2 verse 24. The Bible says, Genesis 2 verse 24, it says, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife. Glory! You know, some time ago, I was reading this verse of the Bible and it dawned on me that, wait, marriage is such a thing that when you get into marriage, your life must change. I don't know if you are following me. It says, you become one flesh with somebody. So if you become one flesh with somebody who is not moving, you are stagnated. I'm telling you. It says you become one flesh. So this is where we got that theme from. Living and cleaving. It's a journey. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife. That process of living to cleaving, it's a long journey. I'm sure you know about that, right? Don't pretend this evening. You know about it, right? So, we are going to divide this conference into two sessions. There is the part of living. Are you with me? The process of being, first of all, from becoming a single and searching. That process of being single and searching. Then there's another part of the conference called cleaving. After you found the person, how do you make it work? Are you with me? So, truly, that explains the two classes of people. Some people are single and searching, and some people are married needing help. So it's going to cover everybody, right? Somebody was asking me, okay, what if I'm divorced? Well, it will also cover you because now you are still back to single. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So I'm going to personally handle the living part, and my wife will handle the cleaving part. Amen. Amen. Okay. Next year's Living and Cleaving Conference, we'll do it in another state. Praise the Lord. Some people are not shouting the no. Okay. Should we protest? Let's vote. You want Living and Cleaving Conference next year in another state? Let me see your hand. Only 3. You want it in Port Harcourt next year? The people that are shouting, you want it in Port Harcourt next year? Let me see your hand. May please be seated. Okay. They were convinced. Hallelujah! Praise the Lord! Hallelujah. So today I want to talk about living. The journey of singleness to finding your partner. The journey of singleness to finding your partner. Now, we have to talk about this because the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 16 verse 25, it says, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Proverbs 16 verse 25, it says, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. That should get you thinking. That means nobody intentionally walks into problem. Nobody goes into a trap with their eyes open. Are you with me? It always seems right. But But the problem with it is that sometimes there's no escape at the end. Like we can see here. It says, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. What does it mean? That you start with a way and you end up with ways. Look at it. Are you seeing the difference? There is a way that seemeth right unto a man. There is a way. But the end thereof are the ways. Meaning, you can get to a point in certain areas of your life that any other step you take is still going to be death. That's painful. This is why, see here, I'm passionate about this topic because there are cases you just hear and you know that. You know, I was talking to a sister this afternoon. You know that there's only one way for progress, run. I was talking to a sister this afternoon and I said that, see, it's not every marriage case that can be solved. Some of them, you tell them, disappear first. We'll settle it later. I heard a story today. In fact, today, husband and wife quarreled. And usually, when they quarrel, it ends up that the man will beat her and she will now beg. He will beat her, she will beg. But that day, she stood up and said, I'm not going to take it again. I will fight. And she fought. And he was not able to beat her as he usually beat her before. So when they were done with the fight, they went to go and sleep. Auntie went to sleep. As she lay down to sleep, only for her to roll, I believe it was an angel of God that just slowed her rolling. She rolled and discovered, you know that some beds have this place where you tuck in the cloth, right? The man has set knife there. Set knife. She was rolling to knife. Her eyes just opened. Eh? So how angry can a man be that you planned knife for the woman you stood before the altar and say, my life I give to you. My goods I share with you. My knife, you know, life and knife is not too far. I'm telling you. Another one I heard today. The woman happens to be bigger than the man. And the man is a pastor. Listen, oh. Listen. When they quarrel, the woman will beat this man. She will beat this man and go and pray in tongues for 8 hours. Ha! No, before I used to hear abuse, that, oh, they're abusing the woman. This one, it was the woman abusing the man. Beat the man. The man could not talk. A time came, he went to their counselor and said, I'm not doing it again. He said, why? I said, please. They have beat me enough. He said, for the 5 or 6 years of that marriage, every time the woman beats him, she'll go and pray in tongues straight. So you hear things that you are just like, first of all, how did they get married? How did they get together? Like I wrote on Twitter today, I said, if you are single here, you are lucky. If you are married, God will help us help you. Amen. And let me tell you, there is no perfect marriage. So, if you are hearing me online thinking that, pastor, is my own is the worst. No, there is no perfect marriage. As long as the two can agree to make it better, it can be better. Are you hearing me? But my emphasis today is living. Amen. Tomorrow we're going to talk about cleaving. How to make the marriage. Now that you have found the partner and probably maybe married, but now you have found the partner, we are assuming by tomorrow that you have found the person. Amen. So today I will teach a little, then we take questions, and we'll have a lot of fun today, and we'll continue tomorrow. Praise the Lord. So, like I was saying earlier on, people get into problems with this thing because they assume. There's too much assumption. Like I tell people, assumption is the lowest form of knowledge. And so when the Bible says, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, it means, amongst many things, that number one, there is some sort of detachment from too much dependency on your parents. Are you getting me? Why am I saying this? Because they are young, they are teenagers of 15 who believe they want to marry. Go to secondary school, everybody has all those children have a crush. No, see, the world is very interesting. I went to preach in a secondary school and I got there and I saw an 11-year-old girl talking about somebody that she's crushing on. From where I was in my Bible, I just said, the blood of Jesus. Hey, there's wahala.
Even as I'm laughing, when we are that age, we like somebody. Oh,
I'm telling you. And you know the funny thing? Some people were actually serious. Some were serious. Some others like us were not serious. No way. The hunger can make you forget. I'm telling you. Suffer can make you forget. So number one, you must have some level of singleness. Like you have detached from that absolute parental dependency. Secondly, before you look for a wife, have a life. Now, I'm assuming I'm talking to the guys because let me tell you something. We always, you know, in Nigeria, or let me say in this part of the world, we try to make this marriage thing look about as though it's only ladies. Is it not true? We try to make it look as though it's only the women who are serious about, let me tell you something. The story of marriage in the Bible began with men. Praise the Lord. Listen and listen well. The story of marriage in the Bible began with men. If ladies are looking for husbands, it's the men that are not marrying them. That's the problem. Are you getting what I'm saying? It's the men that are not marrying them. If their promise in many marriages is the men that have the problem, I'm telling you. Most of the time, more often than not, it's the men. Let me say something. It's a fun fact. Please don't take it overboard. Just laugh. You know that statement they used to say? That when a man marries, his wife takes over him, that he will not have time for his family again, that it's only the wife's family, the only wife. Oh, I said that kind of thing before. Do you know that if you want to go by the Bible, it's actually right? The Bible says, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother. You left them and shall cleave unto his wife. Where is his wife? It's not with her own family, her own father and her mother. Please, so that you don't get in trouble. Remember your own parents. So. Some level of singleness. You must become single, not just physically, but mentally, emotionally, financially, and spiritually. Let me start from there. The singleness I'm talking about is not just physically, but mentally. You must be able to have convictions of your own. Are you getting what I'm saying? Not the one, everything you want to do as a man, you go and say, mommy. Everything, mommy. Everything. If you are here, see, don't be angry. Don't be angry about what I want to say. If you are a man here, and I know there are people still here like that too. Before I used to think those things have gone, but when I encountered it, there are people that their parents will still choose wife for them. Do you know that? They are married, but their parents still have a lot of influence, and even not just their parents. Society has a lot of influence. When you have to be a single, for you to be a man, you have some level of personal discipline. Your friends cannot just come and tell you, your wife should do like that. You are not single yet. Are you guys what I'm saying? You know, a pastor was telling a story about how him and his wife started quarreling. So in their house, the wife washes the clothes. His own job is to spread it. Listen. In their house, his wife does the washing. His own job is the spreading. So he ran into his neighbor. And neighbor saw him spreading clothes on the hanger. Say, hello, sir, what are you doing? Say, I'm spreading my clothes and my wife's clothes. Say, your clothes are your wife's clothes. Say, I don't do that in my house. How can I be doing all of that? His friend or the neighbor friend did not tell him that he's the one that goes to market in his own house. He didn't tell him that one. The guy just said, how can you be spreading clothes? How can you be? So the next day he got home. The wife washed clothes and said, spread. He said, no, I don't think I want to be doing that. And quarrel started. It was after the quarrel became so heated. One day he asked himself, where is this thing coming from? He discovered that it was his friend. So he went to visit the friend and saw the friend one day with bag. Going to the market. And him, in his own house, it is his wife that goes to market. So the only work for him was to spread clothes. Are you getting what I'm saying? Singleness of mind. Singleness of mind.
Praise the Lord.
Also, when you talk about singleness, it refers to emotional singleness. And now this one doesn't just refer to the guys. The guys and the ladies, listen. You are not ready for marriage if you are not single. And let me explain. If on your own and by yourself, you have not gotten to the point where without being in a relationship, you are not happy. You are not yet single. Or let me put it like this. If you are not in a relationship and you are not whole, maybe you are not ready. If you are looking for somebody else to be in a relationship with you for you to be happy, then you are not yet single. Are you getting me? Are you getting me? Let me say it again. If you need to be in a relationship for you to be happy, you are not yet single. If you need to be in a relationship to be happy, one day my wife was talking to a lady, and the lady said, so my wife just, fortunately or unfortunately, she said, before I got married to my husband, I had been single for 5 years. The lady said, it's a lie, it's not possible. She said, I didn't get you. Okay, 6 years. So for 6 years, my wife did not date anybody. She said, 6 years, you did not date anybody. She said, no, I must be something. She said, no, I cannot stay. Some people are like that. Let me tell you how you know people like that. Valentine's Day. The way some people are under pressure. Every small thing, they'll just come in their status. God, when. Somebody put, I saw this picture, a yellow bed among many black beds. And said, this is how I feel today. You must not be in a relationship. Let me tell you something. See, if you are at that point where everybody that is maybe in a relationship or you see a boy and girl together and you are like, chances that maybe you are not ready. Can I tell you something? God told Adam that it's not good for him to be alone. I will make him a helpmate. One of the first things God did was that Adam slept. That means as long as you are still awake and bothered about relationship, you are not ready. You must sleep first. Did you get what I just said? If you are at that point where, if I don't get it by this time, if you get to that point where you are desperate and you are just, that means chances are you are not single.
Praise the Lord.
There's something called financial singleness. You have control. You have this control over your money. This one. Oh God. Discipline over resources. Especially for the, let me start with the guys now. Discipline over your resources. Hallelujah. Somebody wrote on social media. The person said, it's not in this economy you should have 10 girlfriends. Or 5 girlfriends. Or even 2. Let me tell you. It's very correct though. If at this time. You still have enough money to be spending on different girls. You are playing them. See. Satan wants to finish you. The devil has bought caskets for you. Hey. I'm serious. Discipline with money. Some guys. As long as a lady just looks fine. Just because they want to get the attention. They'll bring out money. I've seen it a lot. I know it may not apply to you. I know this is a church setting and most of us here are men of God. Amen. Most of us are spiritual. Sakapakataya. Hallelujah. Those days on the oil field when I was still an engineer. Ha, Jesus. Now I'm a spiritual engineer. Then, those days we'll go to the field. As you're coming to the field, like, once they see the boss, many of the times the oil wells are in those interior villages and all of that. Once those girls in those rural areas see those buses, they will know, engineers have come. So the way they'll come around, hello, you'll be feeling like one, this thing. If you bring out 1,000 and give one, somebody that they don't even see 500 naira regularly, you bring out 1,000 like this. So I know guys, is when they are seeing those girls will now bring out bundles like this and be counting. Hello, Chimezie. She's following you to your room. I remember one that came. She followed me. I said, where are you going to? This is my room. Where do you want to enter? Said, as I was passing, my supervisor just caught me. I said, when he passed, I said, please, I'm not like those engineers. Please be going. Later I came and said, David, you are not nice. At least let her enter. I said, no! Because now, most of them, with all the money they were getting, after they come and meet you, I'm broke. He has carried his money. He has spent money on girls. Are you guys what I'm saying? Spent money on girls everywhere. That does not mean you should be aradite to us. Because there are some brothers. They are so like this. Eh? Even when they marry, for the wife to bend their hand open. Pastor has to pray. So some personal discipline with your finances. Amen. Everybody's quiet. Pastor is finding trouble. It's not like that. Hallelujah. Just listen and be blessed in Jesus' mighty name. And finally, under singleness, personal responsibility. That thing to just say, I will take responsibility as a man. I will make the move as a man. Listen. Our married people here, our parents, they know what I'm talking about. As a man, you will take care of your family. Oh my God. You will take care of your family. You will take care of your family. You see, let me say it again. You will take care of your family. Some of you have wondered, some of you who grew up in many stable homes, have you discovered that sometimes it looks like the men are not emotional? It looks like the fathers are just, my wife, bring this one. I want to eat. Sometimes it's not because they plan to be that way. Sometimes stress can make them like that. Oh. Chai. I'm a father, I can explain. There is a way school is resuming. They tell you school fees, eh? They tell you the school fees. They tell you the food to buy in the house. They tell you this one. They tell you that one. After a while, if you're not careful, if you don't train yourself well, all the emotion inside will disappear. Joy, bring that food for me. After a while, if you're not careful, you become hard. They can tell you, we need money, we need to pay this and this and this. Before you know, all the smile in your face just disappears. So sometimes, some of you know what I'm talking about. You meet your father. Daddy, we want to say, go and meet your mother. Daddy, we want to go and meet your mother. Sometimes, it's not because your mother will give you the money. It's that space that he's trying to create with pursue you is for him to think. Say, God, where will I get this money from? But as a man, you have to tell yourself, I will take care of them. I will be strong. Tell all the men, you say after me, I will be strong for my family. Say it again, I will be strong for my family. The major reason why men run away, maybe God forbid, they have unwanted pregnancy and the men run away, is because of this thing. You are dating a girl, telling her, I love you, baby. You are the sugar. You are so sweet. They mistake, she's not taking. Hey, you wake up one morning and you don't know you that somebody is pregnant for you. The guy disappear. But you need to make up your mind early that you'll be responsible. That one, nobody will do it for you. You will tell yourself. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Are we still friends? So, forgive my bias that it looks like I'm talking to the guys. I'm talking to you because we are the foundation. Are you guys what I'm saying? We are. And let me tell you something you need to know. A guy who is personal, who has this personal diligence, is already attractive. Ask the ladies, is it not true? A guy who knows where he's going and is serious, he looks endearing. I'm telling you, it's the natural thing. A woman will naturally want to follow someone that looks like he's serious. Just wear suit, wear tie like this. Carry briefcase, even if you're not going anywhere in the morning, and she sees you like that. Serious, you come to church. After you pray, they just know, that guy, for him to be serious, he will take care of me. Praise the Lord. So all of this is under singleness. A man will leave his father and his mother. Praise the Lord. Secondly, the Bible says, it was God that said, it is not good that a man should be alone. God was the one that looked at Adam and said, it is not good for this man to be alone. So the second I want to talk about here is your divine timeline. Your divine timeline. There are some people, God is saying you need to be alone. Oh my God. There are some people, God is saying you are not ready yet. So at this point, I want to ask you, what is God saying about your life right now? Is God saying that you are ready to get married, or is God saying, please, be quarantined?
Praise the Lord. The silence in this room is touching.
For some people, God is saying, you need to be alone. And let me tell you, that leads me to the next point. Have you maximized your single days? There are some people, the time when they ought to be spending time alone with God, they are chasing woman. They are chasing a man. I'm telling you, see, if you get what you want, will you want what you get? Ask people who have dated. They will tell you something. That there are some times when you get into a relationship and when you have gone deep into a relationship, you just feel like, can I have a break? Who is that what I'm saying? Then you feel like, let me just have a break. Let me clear my head. Sometimes it's not because they hate the other person. No. It's not even because they are tired of the relationship. It's just that they are looking for some space that they are not getting. Okay, you wake up in the morning. It has gone beyond love now. It's obligation. I have to wake up in the morning and send text message. Babe, how you doing? But some days you want to have a retreat. You want to put up your phone. So when your phone is off, you now remember that, I've not sent this person a message. You go and carry your phone. Whereas it would have been better you were not dating at all. Are you getting me? And sometimes you really like the other person. You both like yourself, but you feel like, I need some space. So instead of rushing into it, why not enjoy all the space you have now? So number one, singleness. Number two, your divine timeline. Number three, your singlehood. Have you maximized? You know, the question I always ask, I was watching last year's Living and Cleaving conference, and one of the questions I asked them was, what are the things that you know that if you get married today, you will not be able to do again? What are some of the things you know that if you get married now, you will have to work harder for you to get them done? I was following a marriage conference, and a 16-year-old stood up and said, there's a guy she likes. She's in 300 level. There's a guy she likes, and she really believes she wants to get married to him. Now, they said, the people responding, thank God they were very mature. They said, it's not a sin to actually like somebody at that age. The problem is, if you get married to him, or if you get deep into this thing now, then maybe you get married at the age of 19. What will you be doing? So 19-year-old, maybe you not get pregnant, have start having children. What will you be doing? Then you have the first one, have the second one, have the third one. Then your life, at the time when your life is supposed to start, you have already become one flesh. Are you getting me? Ask many married people. One of the things they will tell you is that there are some things they need to do. They wish they can have some space to do some things in their life. Are you getting me? Sometimes maybe they want to start a business, but they cannot be committed to the business the way they ought to because they have children. Sometimes they have to work harder. You think being a parent is easy? It's not easy. It's not. My daughter is going to school. I know how it is every morning. My wife will wake up. They have gone to bathe with Joy. From there, you arrange food for her. Thank God there are helps in the house. There are people that will help. If not, sometimes it's stressful. So for the young men, when you get married and your wife starts having children, or you start having children, learn to take care of your wife, because sometimes they left Joy with me today.
God. Jesus.
I'm trying to study something. She will come, drag the paper, tear it. I'm trying to, at a point, I have to carry her and be praying my prayer. Ra-ta-ta-ta-ta. I want to do something else. She's there again. I want to do something else. If she does not sleep, no peace. You want to rush into that? At some point, by the time Auntie Peace came, I said, I give you, please. Take. Of course, I still enjoy her presence. Amen. Because by the time I travel now, I'll be missing her. Hallelujah. So maximize your singlehood. And one of the ways to maximize your singlehood is service to God. You know when the Bible says, remember now their creator in the day of their youth. I'm telling you, some of your parents, they love God though. They really love God. But they are not as active in the service of God the way they want to. Not because they don't want to serve God, but sometimes there are issues around. They need to work harder to serve God now. Are you getting me? So now that you are single, and even if you are married and you are young, serve God. Praise the Lord. Serve God. Tell your neighbor, serve God.
So some others, as I try to round up, hey, God will help me in Jesus' name. Amen. Also, another thing I want to also think about, have you gotten a direction for your life? You know, I usually say that before you find a life partner, before you find, by the way, please be writing your questions down. If you have questions, please just start arranging them. We need them, please, in Jesus' name. I need your amen in Jesus' name. Please, those of you online, please prepare your questions also. Pastor Wisdom, Minister Wana, please work on guarding the questions online. Hallelujah! So, I believe, personally, that before you get married, you must have found what you're going to spend the rest of your life doing. Did you hear what I said? Because one of the things that I've discovered that plague marriages is called growing apart. Do you know that it is possible to grow apart from somebody? You know it. You have experienced it before. Some of you, you have some friends in your life. You did not quarrel. You did not fight. Nothing happened. But you got to a point where you could not talk again. Are you denying me right now? People could not talk again. You know why? When you come to talk, there is nothing to talk about. The person is going to Jalingo. You are going to Akwa Ibom. Two different ways. Two different patterns, two different patterns of thinking, different ways of reasoning. Are you getting me? Different ways of operation, your mind. Oh my God. This one wants to be a missionary. This one wants to be a fashion designer. How? How will it work? What will not happen is that he will go on mission work and meet somebody there. She will go to the fashion design world and meet somebody there. And every time they'll be dragging themselves like this. Praise the Lord. So, you must have known, where am I going? For the lady, for the guy, where am I going? Where am I headed? Like, I'll tell you my own personal story. When it was clear, I knew by the time I was done with the university that I read mechanical engineering. I was one of the best in my department. So I even got a job. I was working in the oil industry. But I knew that eventually, there is a call of God on my life. So any girl I meet, if I start talking to you, I'll bring up topic of serving Jesus. There was one lady I met. If I know Jesus, beauty, Scara. Start talking. I noticed that anytime I talk about the gospel, the story of the gospel, she will change and start talking about movies. She will change. I'll say, "Sir, have you watched this movie?" Oh, I'll say, "Have you thought about souls?" I discovered that auntie was always bringing back. She will always change the topic to movies, talk about hanging out. She wants to go to the beach. Me, I want to go and preach. She wants to go to the beach. You know. So, I was trying. I said, no, it can still work. One day I went to pray. The Lord told me, see, this journey is long. It's long. Guess what happened? Should I talk about this? People like gist. People like story. I will talk about it. So God help me. So I traveled one time to preach. And the first 2-3 days when I traveled, she will call me. How is it going? I said, it's going fine. How is everything? I said, I'm like, souls are responding. Like that. I'll be telling her. After 1 week, the calls started reducing. 2 weeks in my missionary trip, the call, it was reducing. By the time I came back, went to the youth ministry. So then we used to have what they call youth ministry. I went to youth ministry and some of the leaders in the youth ministry, they said, man of God! He said, how was it? I said, we thank God. The glory of God took over everywhere. One that told me, tell him, oh, there's fire on the mountain. Because you know those youth ministries that when a brother and sister start getting close, everybody will know. People are denying me. Say, okay, let me come here. Everybody will know. So, they tell him that the sheep has capsized. I was like, what did they mean? Everyone was speaking to me in parable, said, man of God, the sheep has turned. Until I saw that my girl. Now, Thank God. See, I'm going to talk about this thing. Thank God we are not dating. Thank God. Thank God I've not even said, I'm interested. I was just asking you, what do you think about the future? What do you think about life? Thank God. But, you know, when you are always with a sister, everybody will point you. So, I now saw Antio and another brother in church. They were holding hands like this. They were holding hands and going somewhere. I will not like pay me. Ah! In my mind, I said, can't you tarry with me for 2 weeks? Can't you tarry with me 2 weeks? Just 2 weeks. I go angry. So I told myself, thank God. I started consoling myself. Thank God I did not shall express any intention. I just, at least we started talking. Are you with me? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Different directions. Different. So sometimes you know the problem. Sometimes people are going into relationships when they are still discovering themselves. Ah. Some people are going into relationships when they are still discovering themselves. Praise the Lord. You know, someone said, if you don't know what you want, you will not be able to recognize it when it shows up. And if you don't know where you are going to, anywhere will look like it. So in as much as, I wanted to marry a beautiful woman and God gave me over. Praise the Lord. I thought you would celebrate my wife. As much as that, see, as important as that was, that cannot be more important than the assignment on my life. Are you with me? At least you must love Jesus, basically. In a passionate way. Praise the Lord! Hallelujah! God help me. Okay. So, quickly, how do you find a partner, whether wife or husband? Number one, pray about it. In brackets, put God, I beg. Hallelujah. No, you need to pray, because we are living in a day that all that glitters is not gold. See, the things, even married people will tell you that sometimes it's as if their partner changed. Have you heard things like that? There are many strange things that happen. There are things that happen and sometimes you just wonder, how did I get here? So you need to pray. Sometimes there are some people who God will even find a way to separate you and that person, not because of today, but because of the future. Are you getting me? But because of the future. So you need to pray. Pray seriously. Pray. Amen. Pray. Number two, still under prayer, ensure that you follow God's pattern to find a partner. So when you say follow God's pattern, you know that you must search in God's house. And when I mean God's house, I'm not saying somebody that is just a churchgoer, somebody that submits to God, somebody that fears the Lord. Amen. I was telling a lady, somebody that fears God in spite of your influence. You know, so a guy can fear God because he wants to marry a woman. Ah, Jesus. A guy can just become committed because of a lady. And I'm talking like this because I've seen some, in my little journey, I've seen some things. I remember talking to a young man. He came and met me that there was this lady I was mentoring years ago that he wants to marry her. I said, are you sure? He said, no, pastor! Are you asking me if I'm sure? He said, I will take care of her. I didn't ask you if you take care of her. He said, I want to marry her. So the girl was bent on me giving approval before they start dating. I said, no problem. So they started dating. This one, I'm talking about it because it's paining me. Maybe the sister is watching some from somewhere. Please don't be angry, because this one is paining me. It pained me because my spirit man, you know when Jacob came to Isaac, and Isaac was saying, it's like there's something wrong. That's how I was feeling. But with the way they were so bent on dating themselves, I was like,
let me not be the evil, the demon now that they will have to cast out. Girl was bent on this girl. They said, okay, he's a man of God. That my spirit was like, this man of God, he's the demon one kind. I was like, okay, no problem. After 6 months of dating, the guy said he wants to break up. And I asked them, what happened? She said she does not know that, a day before, the guy was even telling her, I love you, I love you, I miss you. All of a sudden, woke up the next morning and said, I prepared breakfast for you this morning. And he said it in the morning, brought it in the morning. So after probing and probing, they now discovered that the guy wants to go abroad. And the parents said that anybody that is dating, they should break up for him to go abroad. I said, how does that make sense? That's no reason why you should go and apply for a marriage visa now. Apply that you have somebody. Are you with me? Two of you will go and continue the love abroad. No, he said, no, they should break up first. Guess what? After the breakup, Oga did not travel abroad though. Guy got married in 2 months. He got married. She saw invitation card. God of heaven. She saw. So now, what was he doing in the past 6 months? What was he doing? So was he double dating? I don't know. Was he? No, help me answer the question. What was he doing? Okay, he was testing the waters. And I want to say something to the guys here. Learn to explain. See here, don't just give useless. Don't just say things. It's better to say, I don't feel convinced anymore that we should be together. Then you now say, the person you are dating, that girl is not a fool. Are you getting what I'm saying? Tell all the brothers, tell another brother, ladies are not fools. Oh God. I want to hear your voices. Ladies are not fools. Learn to explain. See, it's better you tell the lady, I was sure some time ago, but I don't think I'm sure anymore. Than to just ghost her. Spiritual brothers are guilty of this one. Spiritual brothers, they'll just run to a sister, make the girl feel like I love you, give the girl all the green lights, boom, 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 then disappear. They'll just disappear. Let me tell you, if you explain, she'll respect you more. It may pain her, but she'll respect you more. Say, I was convinced some time ago. I'm no longer sure again. Give me some time to pray. I think, are you getting me? God is quiet. See, please, you will still hear me. Hey, God. Hey. I never even talk this night. Everybody don't be quiet. Okay. God will help us. In Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. So search in God's house. Nothing like I'll marry a Muslim. See, don't be the devil's in-law. If you marry somebody who is not born again, you are an in-law to the devil. The Bible says everyone who is not born again is the child of Satan. So Satan becomes your father-in-law. Is that what you want? Everybody is quiet. He's a nice guy, but he doesn't carry Jesus on his head. Hey, no head is empty, I'm telling you. If you cannot carry Jesus on your head, you will be carrying Satan on your head. I'm talking about, it must be somebody that fears God. She must be somebody that fears God. For the brothers, don't be looking for Nicki Minaj with the Church of Choma Jesus. And see, I don't want a Jesus guy. I want to get one. Even wrote on social media. Say I want a Christian body. That the church girls, they are too straight. They are too like this. Yeah. If you get what you want, will you want what you get? You want? Yeah, I get. We show you shake. You know, sorry with my plenty stories. I've been around for a while. I remember growing up, I had this auntie. Well, not directly.
I was still very young, but they were like my seniors, father in the church.
You know what they call picture perfect couple? You know those couple that you look at and say, oh, guy, the man tall, wife tall, but not as tall as the man. Her head is touching on his chest. You see, as small as I did that time, I said, Chai! This one God made me short like this. I said, this one don't follow. You see them. When they were getting married, even people that, the emotion was too much. Married. And, interestingly, I think ladies, you need to learn from this one. Interestingly, the lady, I have to say this, that lady was beautiful. Jesus. Jesus! Let me say it out of the mic. Fine. Fine. I mean, you say fine. Fine. So guess what? When she got, even after she got married, rich men used to plan chaika. As married as she was, you see big men were coming for her like that. So one day, she changed for her husband. Say, what is it? You can't talk to me like that. Do you know who I am? After two children, she was changing. Even after the two children, the beauty even came out much more. Say, you can't talk to me like that. Change it for the man. Say, when your mates are buying their girlfriend's Benza, you'll be driving this your Mercedes Benz. This your driving Mercedes Benz. And she stormed out of the house and went to her big man. They will not see her again. She will go with this big man to be driving Jeep. When the man is still managing flat boots or V boots or those Camry. No, I remember the man bought her a Venza. Yes, he bought her. The man bought her Venza thinking he was impressing her. She was saying, when your mates are buying me proper SUV, now Venza they give me. And she left. So, a time came when it was obvious, the woman has become a celebrity, fly to Abuja, big men, sidecar, all those kind of things. Before the man could talk, she has filed for divorce, bah! And took off. There's a way this world is a crazy place sometimes. After the divorce, by the time all those men heard that she has divorced, they all left her. I came back and started begging the boy's mother and said, can you beg your son? Let them cancel the divorce. Let us come back. And I said, no, it's not now the battle starts. Why am I saying this? I'm saying this because the problem is don't marry somebody who doesn't have that fear of God. Even if guys are disturbing you as a married woman, you are a married woman. And beyond you and your husband, you fear God now. Are you getting what I'm saying? If I'm finding your trouble, please, let's reconcile now. Are we reconciled? Are we reconciled? Praise the Lord. Have I preached up to 1 hour? Number two, work on yourself. Start working on yourself. The quality of person you are will determine the kind of person you attract. Number three, refuse rush and desperation. It is easier to see through a still water than through troubled waters. So number one, pray about it, choose in God's house. Number two, start working on yourself. Start working on yourself. Start working on yourself. Start working on your character. Start working on your character. Start working on your appearance. Hey, start working on your body odor. Start working on yourself. In this heat in Nigeria, don't say you only bathe once a day. Start working on yourself, please. Somebody saying preach. Should I preach? Start working on yourself. See, both sisters and brothers. Sister. Hey, God. That hair. That hair, I'm saying it because I've encountered.
Oh God. I remember going to preach somewhere. They said I should lay hands on. I laid hands like this. As I got close to the hair, I said, Jesus. From, I just said, don't worry. There is no disrespect. Receive, receive. Praise the Lord. Start working on yourself. Refuse rush and desperation. Refuse rush and desperation. And before I express on rush and desperation, let me talk about working on yourself a little bit. Some obvious character flaws in your life. Before you wait for a partner, start working on it. Maybe you have issues with anger management. When you get angry, everywhere will scatter. Start working on it. There are some ladies, when they get angry, the kind of insult they will release is when they have released everything. You are a very stupid man. You are a bombastic element. You are foolish. You are this. When they have now poured everything, only I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Start working on yourself. In fact, under working on yourself, listen. Husband, prepare to take care of a woman. Wife, prepare to take care of your husband. I'm serious. If you don't see yourself taking care of a man, you are not going to do, you will not be a good wife. I'm telling you. How will he be sending me to carry this thing for him? But you are the one praying, God, give me man. Everybody's pastor is finding trouble. Praise the Lord. For the brothers, learn contentment. Learn contentment. Don't try to bend your wife into something else. Learn contentment. Be content with the breast God has given you. Don't say, don't try to make her feel that it's too small. No, 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 sir, no, sir. If you have not learned to love one person, see, oh my God. Should I talk about this one? Let me talk about this one, this one. See, the place to prepare against adultery is before marriage. Because in this world, the Bible says to what God has created, there is no end. There is no end. So if you say you must marry the most beautiful woman, I'm telling you, even the most beautiful one that God will give you, I give you 3 months, you will meet someone that in your own opinion is finer than her. Yes. See, you have to tame your admiration when you get married. And you have to start it before you get married. Praise the Lord. Okay, you see a lady. She's beautiful and everything. Then you now go and start talking to her. Some even go as far as telling the lady, I love you. Then another day, the gap between when you told the one I love you and the next move you're about to make is not up to 1 week. Old. You now travel somewhere like this, you say, ha, my katokolia kapai. Ah, lady, I just need to tell you, you look good, you look good. Later you start talking to her, maybe you traveled. See, I can't take my eyes off you. Hey, hey, hey. Tomorrow again you come. I think I love you. You forgot you told that one. That one is still thinking. That one is still thinking. You will learn to tell yourself, not everything that is attractive is for me. Amen. And for brothers again, you have to be careful with the use of words. Ladies are deep. Oh. Ladies, am I saying the truth? Some ladies, even saying my dear, Jerry, hey, Jesus, you are daring them. Jesus, just saying that, dear. You just tell the lady, don't be throwing I love you anyhow. I just love you. You will say it in a very spiritual way. The girl will go and be dreaming in the spirit. Whereas you have gone to sleep, oh, you are not serious, so you don't mean anything. Then I ask you, would you really? They say, I was just playing. You are not serious. Praise the Lord. The truth is that most of all these things, I gathered them from handling young people from school days, for many years from school days till now. But especially those days. Because many of them, as they came out from school, life shaky brings wisdom sometimes. So, praise the Lord. So avoid rush and desperation. Do we have any questions yet? questions, okay, please don't bring them yet. I and my wife will handle them, but if we can't finish today, we'll continue tomorrow. Were you blessed so far? I'll just take this point and maybe we'll just round up there, switch to questions, and maybe adjust the program a little bit. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Please, no matter how late it is, avoid desperation.
For the sisters here, please don't settle for rubbish. Don't settle for rubbish, please.
Don't marry to help anybody. Both for the brothers and sisters, don't say, let me just marry him so that I will just take care of him. Don't marry to help, to please somebody or to help the person. If you don't value the person to the point where you feel like, Kai, I honor you and I need you to be in my life. Don't marry the person. Don't manage to marry. Are you with me? Are you with me?
Praise the Lord. Have you been blessed? So let's take questions. Gabriel, just start getting ready.
Are we using this seat to take questions?
So Pastor Faith, come and help me address the questions in Jesus' mighty name. Please put your hands together for Pastor Faith, please. Or encourage me, encourage me.
Some people in church, no matter how much you shout, put your hands together, they will never put their hands together. They'll be like, shout, shout, but they will never shout.
So can someone give a mic to one eye with a mic, to answer, to just call the questions. Pastor Faith, please. Come and sit down, please. I've been talking since. So. So you start answering the questions first.
So by the way, we are not sitting down here because we know everything more than you. Are you hearing me?
I've been married for 2 years plus. This year, we'll make it, sometime this year in July, we'll make it 3 years.
So we are not saying we know everything, but by the grace of God and by privilege, we are lead pastors of this church and the churches. And so we'll be bringing answers to you as the Lord will help us in Jesus' name. Amen. So,
praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I believe that we are all having a great time already and we are being blessed. So, my answer, the first question is, does the feeling of taking a break mean that you are not supposed to be in that relationship? Note, you are totally prepared for relationships, but you have some, and you have same values with the person you are with. So the person is saying that the person is prepared for relationship and that person they are with, they have the same values. So does the feeling of taking a break mean that you are not supposed to be in that relationship?
Okay, praise God.
Hallelujah.
Many times, I think it's not a straightforward answer. It's not a yes or no. It's something you need to seek answers for over time and then you will know. So the answers belongs to you personally. There are some times when you start feeling like, oh, I need to take a break. And over time you see that feeling, God begins to put it hard on your heart that no, this break should continue and never return. Do you understand? And there are times where God will say, okay, or maybe it could be that your mind is beginning to shake and all the rest. You just like what our listing word said, you just need to pray, you need to be sure again. You know, going back to be sure again is very important. Many times the ladies might even misunderstand it, but for the man, it's very important. You need to be with the man whom comes to a point that this is the woman. And nothing takes him back to she is not the one. Do you understand me? Because many times, the answers belongs to the woman. She's the one that will say yes. But keeping the relationship belongs to the man. If a man wakes up today, whether you say yes or you do not say yes, wakes up today and he says, I'm not doing again, it's over. So that's why most times I counsel ladies, don't just jump into anything because you're feeling something. Don't jump into it. Let him prove to you that you are the one. And even if his heart is doing go come, you still see it that this is the person. I don't know if I answered that question. So many times that thought in your heart, it could be a yes, it could be a no. All you need to do is pray more, search more, get clarity, and decide.
Emma, hallelujah. So much wisdom. So another question is, assuming you mistakenly got sexually involved with the person you're dating, should you end the relationship, even if both of you are remorseful? Like you are sorry, you are crying tears. In tears.
Praise the Lord. You got sexually involved with yourselves and you were dating. So first of all, before you even decide whether it's to continue or to break the relationship, you need an accountability structure. You need someone that will say, And that you report to. And you need to separate yourselves for a while. That separation is important. You need to separate yourselves for a while because no matter how much, once you get sexually involved once, the likelihood of it happening again is very, very high. I don't want to tell you very vulgar stories. I've seen people who said, let us pray together about this thing. The day they broke the prayer and fasting, they fell into it again. Amen. And so you need to quarantine. It is that separation that you will now know if you should continue or if you should just separate. Because Harvard Research did some research recently and they said that people who are sexually active before trying to decide if they should get married, I'm more likely to make the wrong choice. It's not a Christian body. Harvard said that people who are sexually active, before they decide, are you getting what I'm saying? Sex has a way of blinding your eyes. It makes you not be thinking straight again. So, it's first of all important to just separate. In fact, if possible, it's better you should go your separate ways for a while. On your own, pretend like you don't know each other. Be praying. It is in that process you'll be sure if you should come back or you should just stay that way. I don't know if that answers that question. Am I saying that every time it's me you will come back? No. Am I saying that every time it means you will be separated forever? No. Sometimes it can still work. Especially if you have a proper accountability structure. Somebody that can counsel both of you separately. Hear from both sides. Are you with me? One of the things the Bible says is that love is patient. There are some people, once they stop having sex and they separate, you will discover that the guy will just move on. So a guy has already moved on. What's the use of waiting for him? You now hear that the guy has gone to somewhere else. But if he's truly interested in you, he will wait. Are you getting me? So that separation will give you the time to really check yourselves. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise God. Sorry. I just want to add to what he just said. You know, this is why God warns against it. You know, many times young people feel like God is cheating them for not allowing them venture into some things. But God is preserving you. Do you know how the devil brings condemnation to people? The condemnation is so strong. And sometimes even when these two people cannot pull out of that to seek solution, it's it's almost like they can ruin their life from there. Because the girl begins to think far, the man begins to think far, it's a lot. So even if it has happened, just like he said, seek help. Don't say we'll cover our sins. We'll try to do it together. We'll put rules. Okay. You know, I think there was something that happened one time like that. We were talking to a friend, and the friend was like, if something like that happens, that the both of you should start seeing yourselves outside. Like, avoid that inside discussion. At this point, it has happened. It's not like it was trying to happen. And then you start putting rules and regulations. But it has happened. So you seek help. Serious help. And just like he said, stay away from yourselves. It's time to cleanse yourself. Go through spiritual cleansing. And let the faith decide again if the both of you will come back or will go from there. Do you understand? But the major thing is that you must seek help. And you must follow counsel and guidance. Praise God.
Praise God. Okay, so I'll read about 3 questions together. They are sort of connected. So the first one is it good for a single girl to date a married man?
That's Jesus.
Amen. Is kissing and touching a sin as a Christian? And what is the right age for dating? Is it good for a single girl to date a married man?
No.
There we go. No explanation.
People are not asking the questions I was expecting, but sure.
No.
Is it good for a single girl to date a married man? No. Is kissing and touching a sin as a Christian? In what context? In the context of being married or in a relationship or you are single?
Okay. You know, sometimes we may want to define what is really sin. Is kissing and touching a sin? Somebody's already saying yes. Let me explain to you. God made, we are not children here, right? I want to say some things. Praise God. God made sex very nice. And he said it is for married couples, right? But if you're a married couple here, has it ever happened that you just came back from work? Your wife came back from work and then people just start having sex. It's only animals that behave that way. They can even have sex on the road. You see the cock everywhere. But God decided that it should be a process. It starts by touching. And then it goes into kissing. And kissing is so sweet that you don't want to stop. See, if you want to light, the burning bush, it will start small before it spreads. This is why we warn young people. It is not just about touching and kissing. That thing you are doing, you're lighting the fire. And many times when you start, it's so difficult to stop. And you will put yourself into a situation whereby, because your conscience has been seared in kissing, it will not be difficult to have sex.
Abala, abala, abala.
You know, when you do something repeatedly over time, it becomes normal. So even when somebody is trying to like, no, don't do this, no, we are going for it, because you had already settled in that other thing. So this present one becomes normal. Kissing and touching is not for Christians. Stay away. Because when you start, you are looking for trouble. And this trouble, you might not be able to solve it in the next 20 years of your life. Have you seen people who get married, but the condemnation of what they did in the past is still haunting them? Keep your ways pure. You have nothing to lose. Thank you.
Amen. For settling that matter. So the next question. Pastor, a friend of mine is always talking about divorce because he couldn't satisfy his wife after marriage because as a believer, he wasn't involved sexually with her. Pastor, what could he do or what can he do about this? Because a marriage is about to be broken.
It's never broken in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Okay, so the wife does not feel satisfied, right? Or he does not feel like he's satisfying the wife. I want to really get the context of the question.
I think from what the person wrote is like maybe from the wife's response, he's not sexually satisfied, or him is not able to, or she's complaining or something.
Now, I want to believe that. I want to say some things here, and I want to hope that we are not over religious, right? Answer me. Let's dodge the question. Should I see the person personally? There are many reasons why a woman may not feel satisfied. And you need to find out why. Before the act of sex, there is a communication first. Sometimes it may be a medical issue. It may be a traumatizing issue she had had when she was small. I heard of a case where, that was last week, if I went preparing for this Living and Claiming conference, that was when I stumbled on it. A man went to see a pastor. In fact, a pastor went to see a pastor. And he went to complain to his pastor that, see, you are my pastor, but I'm a pastor too, but I need to open up to you. He said, I've been married for 3 years. I and my wife has not had sex once. He said, man of God, he said, sir, my wife and I have not had sex once since we got married. He said, sir, I'm not joking. So they had to call the woman and ask her, what's the matter? She said, when she was growing up, she had this uncle that used to touch her. In fact, she was sexually abused repeatedly. So now, when she got, eventually was able to overcome it as it were, or maybe she thought she overcame it, when she got married, anytime her husband wants to come close to her, she sees that man's face. Are you what I'm saying? Trauma is real. Are you getting what I'm saying? Are you following me? Trauma is a real thing. So sometimes it may not really be that she doesn't just want to get that. Find out why. What is the issue? Is it that he has not learned to satisfy her, or he has not understood her way, her style and everything? That one, they should see a doctor. They should open up to a doctor. Let the doctor talk to them that, okay, this is what to do. Maybe you are too this. Maybe you are too like this. Are you getting me? But he should not just start looking for a divorce. It may also be, this one I want to say, please, don't misunderstand me. It may also be that the woman has been sexually active before she got married. Are you getting me? And she has become an expert, whereas the man is just learning. And when is that way, it's very difficult, because now God designed that you and your partner will grow together.
Yes.
Can I say this one? Please don't be angry. Let me tell you the truth. When I and my wife got married, wedding night, we tried to have sex, we could not. We're just looking like two fools there. So I just told myself, I love you, babe. I know you believe it because at least I've married you. So let's sleep. We had to sleep and woke up. The next day I went to church. Married women will meet me. And that was it. And I said, man, it was wonderful. They all thought something powerful happened. I said, it was wonderful. We bless God. God was amazing. Nothing could happen. We had to learn and just grow and grow into. At least joy is proof that it worked. Praise God. Hallelujah. So.
Yes. I think the both of them should also communicate, like talk about it. they should be open to themselves. She should really say, like, what she really wants and what he's doing wrong, what is really affecting her. Because I know that myself and my husband, we've had that conversation before. Don't worry, I will not tell you everything. We've had that conversation. You know, there are some women that they might not like maybe a situation where you just jump on them. Maybe they want you to start it early. Like, start by maybe when I'm washing the plates, you know, you like Nigerian movie too much. Nigerian movie and marriage is not the same. So, you like a situation by maybe when you're washing the plates, you're washing the dishes, he will just come and hold your waist, eh? And then that feeling will just be rising. And then when something wants to now start, your body's already open. Ask her. I don't know if you understand. Ask her. What is...
Some men, a lot of, we have mature people. Some men, bam. Take it easy. So, they just rush in, bam. When you take a girl's life.
The dangers of that is that over time, she'll start feeling used. She'll start feeling like, it's only when he wants, that's when he comes. Mm. After he's done, we are good. Everybody go to your tent, oh Israel. It's only when he wants again, you remember me. So, she's just like, she gives herself like a tool. But that affection, that emotion, that love is not flowing. That's why many times it's not all about sex.
Mm.
Communicate with her. Know her feeling. Know where she's hurting. Okay, how can I do it better? These things can be discussed. So talk with her, let her share her pain and tell you what you can do. Because women, we are deep. Just
for
like
the married men or for the guys planning to get married, as a rule, never plan to have sex with your wife except you have been bonded with her first. I don't know if you understand what I'm trying to say. It's not about sex, it's about love. They don't get it, say Jesus. It's not about sex. It's about love. Sit down with her. Make sure she's your friend. And it will take a while. So if you are thinking sex, you'll be a bad person. You'll be a wicked person. I'm telling you. Just think about how you can be a friend to her. It will play out naturally. Praise the Lord. If you get, you get. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you, sir. Thank you, ma. So someone is asking, does discovery have to end in singleness? Can't I discover myself in the relationship, especially if the guy is actually the one helping me to see that there is more to me? Should I go again?
Yeah.
Okay, so the person is asking, does discovery have to end in singleness? Can I not discover myself in the relationship, especially if I feel like the guy is the one helping me to see that there is more to me, you know? Show me all the sides of myself.
Okay, praise God.
Hallelujah.
The thing is that it is when you've discovered yourself to a point in singleness, that is when you will realize that this guy is helping you in the relationship. Do you understand? So we are not saying that it ends there. That's the totality. But we are saying help yourself. Even as you're single. So that when you're going into the relationship, you don't go into something wrong. You don't go into something that you are not prepared for. It is only somebody who has prepared. Okay, let's say you want to write an exam. The major preparation, the bulk of the preparation starts before the exam, right? You read and everything, all the things you want to do. But do you know that you can enter the exam hall and I think something happened one time. I was in the exam hall and I was reading the question and I was like, God, I actually read this thing, but what happened now? I was thinking and thinking. Then somebody just said something behind. Somebody just said, it's X. That thing that person said reminded me of everything I had read.
Is that Expo?
I don't know, but I shall remember everything that I had read. And it was like everything just started flowing. Do you understand me? So it is when you have prepared yourself first, when you have gone through that process first as a single girl or a single man, that you will appreciate the light that that person is bringing in the relationship. Have you been in a relationship before and somebody is trying to help you and you're taking it as the person is doing you wrong? Like the person is not doing what you're supposed to. Do you get me? A guy is trying to help the girl, but she's using emotions to scatter all the help. It is only a girl who has learned how to manage her emotions and be wise at what that guy is bringing that will understand that stage. Praise God. Do we get me?
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So the preparation continues, but take advantage of your singlehood. Use it, because that is what will help in the relationship. Praise God.
Hallelujah. So the next question, what do you do when the person you love says he doesn't want to be in a relationship after giving all the green flags, but still tells someone he loves her and acts like he's dating that person?
Bex, talk the question again, Abex.
So what do you do when the person you love says he doesn't want to be in a relationship after giving all the green flags, but tells someone he loves her and acts like he's dating that person? So he doesn't want to be in a relationship. He's giving all the green flags, but he's acting like he's dating someone.
That reminds me of a question I've been expecting. I want to answer the question. I'm addressing this, but in a different way. How do you know a guy likes you? And how do you know a girl likes you? Because you can say he's giving green lights, but he does not like you. And you can claim that she's giving you green lights, but she does not like you. Am I talking? So, generally, there is a rule.
And also, what's the extent of your green lights? Because on a serious note, some girls, the guy might just come as a friend, like he's just a normal, general, friendly, and loving guy, but the girl is already in the third heavens. So what is the extent of your green light? Guard your heart, girl. Continue, sir.
So, praise the Lord. So, for the ladies, or should I start with the guys? Ladies. Okay. For the ladies, how do you know a man likes you and he's interested in you? He will tell you clearly with his mouth wide open, I want to marry you. I want to date you. I'm interested in you. If he does not do that, anything he's doing, take it as he's joking.
Yes.
Do you know what I said?
Yes.
Let me tell you why. Because sometimes making a choice is not easy for a man. So what do? They just scatter their emotions everywhere. So he can meet the lady. As looking at you right now, to be truly to his mind, he actually feels like he likes you. So he's telling you, I love you and everything. But for him to make that commitment, for him to actually open his mouth and say, listen, maybe the girl's name is, let me use my native name. The girl's name is Ufoma. And the guy says, Ufoma, I love you. If he has not said, I want to marry you, I want you to know that I want to spend the rest of my life with you, I want to date you, he has not said that, he may not be sure. He may be taking you out, going for lunch, buying this one, that one. Sometimes he's enjoying the attention without payment. Sometimes he's trying to get your attention and keep your attention, but does not want to commit himself. So if he has not said, I like you, I love you, if he's not said, I want to marry you, I want to date you, just take it as, okay, he's still trying to decide. Why do you think that ladies are excited when the men give them rings? You know why? Because eventually he has come to declare. Have you not seen cases where they were dating? Eh? All of a sudden he says he's not doing again. They actually dated. And you cannot break his head for that. Until he has brought ring, anything that happens, don't be surprised. Are you with me?
Yes.
Are you with me? Now for the guys, how do you know a lady likes you? Listen, the way the girls are looking at me, the pastor. If you are the one always doing, thank God for, yes, the man has to chase, the man has to be the one to initiate. But if all the initiation, all the chasing is you, there is a problem. She will be breaking into your space. She will be using style to tell you I'm available. Girls, am I talking? She will be using style. She will say something. You will hear a girl say something like this. Ah, this one, you allow me to press your phone. I hope your girlfriend will not be angry.
Did I do that?
You don't do that one, but you did the other ones. She will be around you. If you are only the one calling, she will want to talk to you. She want to spend time with you intentionally. And not just that, she will want to sacrifice for you. Now, praise the Lord. Jesus, let me not find trouble. Though. Should I talk? If a lady likes a guy, she will make sacrifices for him without him forcing her. She will want to, have you eaten? Have you? She will plan that, you need to eat. You need this one. You need that one. If you are only the, every night you will call her, she's busy. She's trying to tell you that, I don't have your time, Oga. Every 1 year you have been chasing her, she's always busy every night. My brother, run. And in fact, many times if she does not want you, she'll be using style to tell you. Yes. She'll tell you that, I'm hanging out. There's this friend that is very close to me. She's saying, don't be close, or don't come close. It's that one that is very close to me. She's using style to tell you that, please, go, please. But some guys, faith does not take no for an answer. I must pursue and pursue. Please, praise the Lord. Try and get the signs from her. They're all quiet. All the ladies are angry with me. I'm sorry.
You know, this is why I respect ladies who draw their boundaries. You just can't mess up with them anyhow. There's a way you get too close and they are beginning to observe. They will just tell you, this friendship, I think you need to calm down. So for it to get to that level where the lady actually saw it as green light and she started loving the guy, that means she opened up herself to that level. She opened up herself to what that guy actually did to her heart. You know, the first thing I said, guard your heart. Because women are very emotional. Women can be very emotional, but not emotional to the point where you lose your sense. So that thing. No. So when you see that he's beginning to do it too much, you can say, yes, you can't cross to this other side. Just like what Pastor said, when he has not openly declared to you that I want you, he's just giving you the green light. Be careful. Because there are times when the guy has not even asked, but the lady already feels heartbroken. She feels like he had already left her and he's going out with some other person. So that's why I beg ladies, be strong. You know, a daughter of mine called us one time and she was like, there's this guy that started calling her recently and every little thing, the guy would say, my dear, my love. And so she noticed that her heart started going towards those words. And they would talk and talk. So she woke up one night and said, okay, he's not dating me. He has not said anything to me. Why am I laughing like, what is happening to me? So the next time he called, she said, I don't like that word you are using. I don't like you calling me my love. And the girl was like, no, that's how I used to call the ladies that are special to me. She said, I'm special to you, but this word is beginning to get to me. She was sincere. This word is beginning to get to me. Don't use it again. And the boy respected her words and stopped it. So for the sake of your heart, you must learn to draw your boundaries. Tell the person, you are taking too much. I don't want this. And even if your heart has already gone, it can come back. We are humans. It can come back. So don't fly too much, please, in the name of Jesus.
Oh, I want to say something here. There is a way, guys, please, don't, guys, at least don't misunderstand me. There is a way you will tell a guy, please stop, and it can be too rude. Am I correct?
Say it nicely.
Say it. There is a way you will tell a guy, even if the guy wanted to even have plans for you, there is a way you will say, don't call my love again. Get out. There is a way you will say,
that's, calm down, man of God. I did not say that. Calm down first.
You know, there is a way we say, draw your boundary. And some people is not draw your boundary, start a war. And maybe something could have happened. So you can be polite and be firm at the same time. I just want to put that there. Because some people, the way they draw their boundaries, that they make sure the person feels worthless. Am I talking? Okay, I'm sorry.
Please don't go to the extreme.
You can be nice and say, please, please, don't. And if the person does it again, you can say, please, I said it before, please. You can be more firm now, please. I don't want you to call me that word again. Please, yes. Let's define what we are doing, please. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. All right, next question. Person says, the person I like does not fit into where I am going, but I have strong feelings for the person. But there is someone else and our visions align, but I am not into the person's looks. What do I do?
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Can Gabriel minister before we take that question? Because that question is deep. It has to do with managing your feelings.
Yes. So, love is not all about how you feel. You know, you can feel love today and the both of you start quarreling and you, the same person that you were like butterflies in my stomach, that same person, you don't want to see that person. Doesn't mean that you don't love the person again. You know, I usually used to share this story. There was a time that myself and my husband, we had this misunderstanding throughout the week, and I felt like, what is it? Just day or day. But my husband traveled the next week. I felt like, please now, I beg now, come back. Two different feelings. So love is not all about how I feel or how you feel. Many times love is built. Love is fought for. Do you understand me? And these things begin by searching where you are going to first. You know, Pastor Laju said something. How did she even put it again? She said, yes, when you are in a relationship, date with your sense. But when you are married, love foolishly. Because at this point, you have given the person your commitment. So you have to fight for the love. But this other time, you've not given that commitment. You have to think about it. You have to think. This one I'm going for. Is it just about the feeling? Or what about the future?
Hallelujah. The question the person is asking, is a very deep question. That's why I'm trying to give space. Many of us have been there where there is what your head wants and there is what your heart wants. I want to take time to address it carefully. Praise the Lord. So, have you ever found yourself falling in love with somebody you know you should not be loving? You are denying me. Yes. I want to help you are denying me. Like, somebody is married. Like, this man is married, but it's as if your chest is going out for this person. Or, as a guy, I've seen cases where a single guy is liking a married woman. Don't you know it happens? Then, you will see a married man having feelings. That one is almost, it happens a lot. A married man is having feelings for a single lady and he has a wife. And it's not like he hates his wife. So what do you do to manage your emotions? How do you manage your emotions?
Let's put our hands together for our man of God and our woman, man of love and our woman of love. Amen. Please, let's make it louder. Let's make it louder. Please, I can't hear your shouting. Please, let's make some noise. Hallelujah. Praise God.
Praise the Lord.
So I want to answer that question. Where you see yourself in a corner point, you have to move on. Are you with me? Are you with me? So number one, why do we have feelings for places where we shouldn't have feelings? It's because usually those places, we have some sort of contact. Feelings are the result of contact. No matter how much you claim to love somebody, if the person becomes out of sight for a very long time, feelings will die naturally. Are you getting me? So this is also a blanket answer for when you find yourself as a guy, maybe you are married to your wife or you have a wife, and then you see yourself having feelings for some strange girl somewhere. Just cut off the girl. I'm telling you, if you cut off the girl for 5 months, I'm telling you the feelings will disappear. So you find a way to disconnect yourself from that person. Number two, pray about it. Don't underestimate the power of prayer. I'm telling you. If you pray about it, I learned that one from my wife. My wife told me that those days when she has feelings for someone who she knows that the Lord does not want her to have feelings for, she will pray about it. That, oh God, disconnect my heart from this person. And by the time she sees the person again, there's an obvious disconnect. Are you with me? Are you with me? So pray about it. Number three, talk to yourself. Learn to sit down and tell yourself, I speak to my heart. You know, you can speak to yourself. You can tell yourself, going forward, I disconnect myself from this person. Are you with me? You need to do this as a practice regularly. Because sometimes you are a lady, you are in a relationship with a guy, but you go somewhere, maybe they send you for a trip, a work trip to another place. And when you go to the other place, they partnered you with, they paired you with one other guy. And this guy just looks like, where have you been? You look like Latin kind of thing. But you have to tell yourself again, you are not, this man is not my husband. He's not my boyfriend. He's my work colleague. And so shall it be in the name of Jesus. Amen. 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 Same thing with the guy. So number one, disconnect from where that source is coming from. Maybe it's because you discuss with the person for too long. Maybe it's because you have the person's pictures on your phone too much. Are you getting me? Those things that are feeding that emotion, you cut it off. Tell your neighbor, cut it off. Number two, you give yourself to prayer. Pray about it. And number three, speak to yourself. I can guarantee you it has worked for me. If you do this and it continues, come and see me personally. Or see a doctor. Come and see me. Amen. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Question. You can just take like one more and we continue tomorrow. Amen.
Amen.
So what is a lady who grew up in a family where love did not exist, and because she, and now the lady doesn't have the heart to love, no matter how much a guy tries to make her believe in love, what should she do? She hasn't been exposed to a loving environment, and so doesn't really believe in love. What will she do?
Praise God. I think she should go towards a love environment. It's like giving back the question to get the answer. So, yes, you're maybe from a family or something, but you should tell yourself that environment shouldn't define you. It shouldn't define the totality of your life or where you are going to. You have a long way to go. And your parents or whomsoever you've seen that with, that is their own chapter. That's their life. So you don't use somebody else's life to define your own life. You have to seek answers for yourself. So you can start by seeking the love of God, opening yourself to prayers. You know, this path of prayer, it has a way of opening your heart to a lot of things. There are times where you can even have unforgiveness in your heart. Pray about it, and before you know, that love clouds your heart again. You know, there are times where myself and my husband, we can even have maybe a misunderstanding or something, and we notice that the more we pray about it, the easier it is for us to communicate and love ourselves. So God in heaven is able to bring you to that place where you can find solution. And even in the house of God here, being regular to the word of God, before you know, you are loving again. So I think you should come back to that right environment and don't use somebody else's life to judge your own life. Rather, fight for that love that you want to see. Praise God. You want to say something?
So like my wife has said, see, the reason why you may not believe in love is because you have not been around love for a long time. I was saying like that, so I don't believe in love until I met my wife. She loved me to believe in love. I'm telling you. So I want to assure you that there is a way you will be loved. You will believe in love. I'm telling you. You will believe in it. So be around. In fact, start with the brethren, the church. Get involved with serving God and people who love God. You cannot stay around God long enough and don't believe in love. The Bible says God is love. Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
Last question
for the day. All right. So someone is asking, knowing that God may not come out physically to tell you that this person is your husband or wife, how will you get the conviction of a right partner? There's a follow-up. What if you don't like any of the guys in your local church? Where do you find the right man?
Jesus. Why didn't you ask the question since? I've been waiting for questions like this since. Because I didn't finish my notes. That's the truth. I cut my notes by, I did 30% of what was written. So, let's start with, let me escape local church own first. We forgive you. So, how do you get the conviction? So conviction doesn't happen overnight. You must know that. It takes a while. And what I would have talked about here is you have to have a process of friendship. See, you have to be a friendly person in such a way that there is a plethora of people. You have to have good friends around you. There's a plethora of people that God can choose from, first of all. And so, even though you don't show it publicly, in your plethora or a multitude of friends, you're actually searching. The real search is done inwardly. So you look at this person, could it be this person? And you start praying about it. So let me tell you the problem many will have. They have not built friendship, so they just see somebody, anybody they get close to, they want to date. Whereas you should be a friendly person. The Bible says he that must show himself friendly, he that must have many friends must show himself friendly. You must have this. You must be an outward person. Have so many friends. And from then, God will now begin to steer you towards someone. And from there, closeness, you can now begin to pray. Okay, this person I'm getting close to, or this person that my eyes are just falling upon. Who is this? Then pray about it. And as you pray and pray, sometimes you are praying and you don't just have this release. Don't push any further. Just still be a nice person. Still be a nice friend. Are you with me? Are you with me? But sometimes you will pray and you get a release. For instance, myself and my wife. To be honest, we've known for a very long time. We literally grew up together. I was first like a pastor at teenage ministry. How many years ago now? That's, let's say 15 years ago. I was like a pastor then. And after that, I went to the university and I came back. We still met and all of that. Can I be honest with you? There was a day among those days. One day I just looked at her. And somebody jokingly told me that, in fact, somebody asked me then in church that amongst all the teenagers in this church, is there anybody you think you can marry? I said, yes. I think I can marry Faith. And she was not there. I just said it and forgot about it. This was between me and that elderly man. And I can tell you 5-10 years down the line, I was getting married to her. So, how did I get married to her? She joined New Breed when New Breed started and was a sister. And to be honest, actually when she joined, I was in a relationship with somebody else. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So, I was not even looking at her corner at all. I was focused on the mission. Praise the Lord. Until when, fortunately and very fortunately, that one did not work. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
I was not very fast. That's why.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So, then I was, in fact, she was there one day. I was praying and I was just meditating. I was calling different names. Could it be this girl? Could it be that girl? I was calling different names. Could it be that girl? Could it be this one? Then I said, Lord, let your will be done. Among the names, what did you say?
I said, he even came to me for counsel. Submitted all the names to me. As a woman of God, what will I do?
I submitted names to you have blown my cover. I submitted names to her that she should help me pray that I'm close. This one is my friend. This one is my friend. This one is my friend, but I've not given them any sign that I'm interested in them. I've not told them anything that I like them, but she should just help me pray about it. And we were praying. Until one day, like this, I just woke up and was like, come on, what am I praying about? I said, this girl, this one in my front like this, she looks like what I want now. So I now went to retain the prayer point. I started asking God, Lord, what are you saying about this one? I prayed. It looked like God was not answering me. But logically speaking, when I looked at it logically, I couldn't get that in my notes. When I looked at it objectively, I sat down and thought about it. I said, let me look at this girl. If I marry this girl, will he help me? Are we going to work out together? I found out that we're flowing as friends. Everything, it was working out fine. So I went to pray. After 4 months of prayer, one day I was bathing, January 2020, I cannot forget. And it was as if God dropped a coin in my head. And it came with a message. If you marry Faith, you will fulfill all my plans for you. Ah. I came out and I found my wife. So, but I didn't tell her anything. No. It took 7 months for me to talk. Because I wanted to be sure. I wanted to be sure that I'm not. So I was still praying. So, first of all, start praying about it. First of all, have friends. Have good friends. Friends that if God says marry them, they make sense. Are you with me? Then start praying about it. That God, among these friends, show me. And if he's not showing you like you claimed, he's not showing you in your local church, he's not far. Are you with me? If he's not showing your local church, still be praying. He's not far. I'm telling you. He's not far. For instance, in fact, I can assure you, if you pray about it and you say, Lord, open my eyes. You know the way the things of the spirit are. So the lady had been praying about getting married. The guy had been praying about getting married. They did not have any connection anywhere. What happened? She came to visit her friend in a compound. The guy was a tenant in that compound. He saw her like this and said, that's my wife. That's what happened. She passed him. She just passed him. And he knew in his spirit that this was my wife. Are you hearing what I'm saying? See, when you pray, God does something to you that you don't really understand. It makes you to be sensitive. You know somebody having eyes but they cannot see. Sometimes God is saying this is the woman, but because he's not giving to prayer, he's chasing one figure 8 and 10 in the office. The woman is passing his frontage every day. Are you with me? Oh my God. For the man too, or for the ladies, your husband, for instance, like they are my husband and wife were praying about wife. I was coming to meet her every day, saying, I have this name, I have that name, I have this one, I have this one. Pray, let's pray about it. Whereas the answer was looking at me in my front. Praise the Lord. Until I prayed, the scales did not fall out from my eyes. So conviction, actually, God is the one that gives convictions. And you start with prayer. Have you not seen people who were dating? But in the middle of the dating, they became unsure. The more they dated, the more unsure they became. Have you not seen this like that? Praise the Lord. So if you pray about it, God will open your eyes. And there is no specific way. Sometimes it comes by knowing. Sometimes it comes by dreams. Sometimes it comes by everybody pointing to somebody. Are you getting me? But one way I must assure you, if
Everybody points at somebody and you don't have the peace in your heart. Eh? One of the signs you know you have met your partner is joy. There is consistent joy within you. There is consistent peace within you. There is consistent hope within you. You see a future with, are you with me? You will see a future with this person. Not the one that the person is offering you ring, you are shaking. Hey, God, I beg, oh, God, I beg, I beg. I've seen cases like that. You ask the guy, do you want to marry? Do you ask the lady, do you see yourself marrying him? He said, God forbid, oh. Where is your boyfriend? Yes. I've seen cases like that. They are dating, but the girl does not, she doesn't see herself getting married to him. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord!
Hallelujah. Lorraine, sorry, I wanted to say something. You know, one one proof that you are ready to get into a relationship is desire. So I think the lady should ask herself, am I ready? This one that all the brothers in the church, I'm not looking at anyone. It could be that that's not the time. So channel your prayer to a lot of things and maybe pray little about this one until that emotion and that readiness begins to rise. Do you understand? Because there are times where you find a lady whom every little thing, her heart is just into love. That's a sign that she's ready to go into that. But a lady whose heart is nothing. And many times, even when a guy comes to ask a lady like that, it's very difficult. So at that point, it could be that she's not ready. So I would advise her, don't break your head so much about marriage. Calm down. Calm down and take it step by step. Take it gradually. Don't rush into anything in the name of Jesus. Amen.
I want to encourage you to invite many people tomorrow. I know that today the bias was more of the singles. Tomorrow we will tilt more to the married. Are you with me? We will tilt more to what do you do if when you are married and you just feel like all the emotional spark has disappeared. It happens so. So even if you are not married, we have to prepare you for it. There will be some times where it looks like you cannot explain why, but you are angry with your husband. Nothing happened, but you're angry. Sometimes you're angry with your wife. Nothing happened, but you woke up angry. How do you handle those things? How do you handle when you are now enjoying somebody else's company more than your wife? How do you handle when you are enjoying somebody else's company more than your husband? Please, don't miss tomorrow. Can we just begin to thank God right now? Thank Him. Thank Him. I know it feels like we should go on, but we thank God that the Holy Ghost, who is the greatest teacher, He will help us compress everything tomorrow. Just thank Him. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we bless you. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for day one. We thank you for the success of day one. We thank you because all that we have received, all that we have shared, you will distill it into applicable wisdom for us. And Father, in the name of Jesus, your people are blessed. Their marriages are blessed. Their homes are blessed. Their relationships are blessed. We thank you for harvest of more marriages. More families are rising. More glorious relationships are rising. Where there is confusion, there is clarity. Where there was confusion, clarity takes over. And every relationship that will end in destruction, Lord, scatter it right now. In the name of Jesus. Wherever you will have made mistakes, help them reorder their steps. Help them reorder their steps. For the last time, there is restoration. And Lord, for those already married, their spark is renewed. For those already married, their spark is renewed. Their love is renewed. Their friendship is renewed. In the name of Jesus, for every broken heart, there is healing. For every pained heart, there is healing. There is restoration. For everyone trusting you for a husband, Lord, they receive. Everyone trusting you for a wife, they receive. They receive direction to that person. They receive direction to their spouses. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. For even those who feel they have lost time, Lord, speedily answer them. In the name of Jesus. I cannot hear your amen. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name.